verses 3 through 14, as I told you, is the longest sentence in the New Testament. And Paul seemed like when he started penning this great scripture by the Holy Spirit of God, he couldn't stop. Just praise to the Father because the purpose of our salvation. Talk about old time religion before the foundation of the earth. And also praise to the Son who purchased our salvation with his blood on Calvary's cross. And then praise to the Holy Spirit that presents our salvation to each and every one of us. And Paul could not stop. He began to praise God, and he seemed like he wrote the longest sentence of praise in the New Testament. And this morning, the assurance of the believer, we can enjoy our assurance because of the Holy Spirit of God has sealed us. It's been praise to the Father, praise to the Son, and praise to the Holy Spirit of God. This morning will be praise to the Trinity together. I brought about five different sermons on these few verses. I understand what old Paul was going through when the Holy Spirit of God hovered upon him and used his hand to write these scriptures in his heart also. So thank you, Lord, that we may understand and enjoy our assurance of salvation that God has given us. It's so good to know that you're saved. It's good to know that you cannot lose your salvation. And that ought to give you the safety to enjoy this life that God allows us to live, to know that you have it, know that you cannot lose it because of the power of God. So this morning as we read in these verses of scriptures, verses 13 and 14, it winds up this sentence, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." Let us pray again. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of thy word and the convicting power of the Spirit of God this day. And we pray and thank you, Lord, if anyone here today has never accepted you, if never made this open profession of faith, God, we pray this will be the day that you might convict that heart and soul. Father, give that person the power they need to rise and come forward to a new life in Christ Jesus. We just want to thank you and praise you for all the good things you give us. And Father, knowing that we'll be with you, Father, in heaven one day, and we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In verse 13, it says, sealed. We are sealed. Now, seal means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. If we had a lot of kids here, we'd say a seal. They were thinking like some animal in a zoo that balances a ball on his nose. I say seal to the ladies, and this is a canon time. Of course, they don't too many ladies do the canon anymore, so you might not know what this seal talking about, ladies, but a lot of them used to, they sealed everything in jars, and you might think this is a seal that he's talking about. But a lot of men, and it's different for us too, used to be a seal was something that you'd have on a gasket of a car motor or something if you put a seal on it. Maybe there are not too many lawyers in you this morning, but a lawyer think it'd be a seal on a document. Signed, sealed, and delivered of assurance. Well, this is a signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit of God that sealed us because we belong to Jesus Christ, and he hath placed a seal of the Holy Spirit upon us if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 8 in verse 9, it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man, any person have not the Spirit of Christ, he or she or they is none of his." It means that you're lost. If you don't have the Spirit of God living in you right now, you are a lost person. That's what the Word of God says, that you are lost. You're saved and you have been sealed, and the Holy Spirit lives within you. Now, salvation is compared to a lot of things in the Bible. It is compared to a birth. You are born again. A new birth for salvation. Also is a building, a living stones. You are living stones built together in Christ Jesus be the chief cornerstone. You are the body of Christ. You are married. You are married to Jesus Christ, the bride. So we see to start with this assurance we have to enjoy it. Seal means the finality. It means final. So we see the final things, purchased, our purchased possession. Now, if you read about this purchased possession over in Jeremiah 32, if you go home and read that, Jeremiah was a prophet in the nation of Israel, and God had told him to go and buy a parcel of land in Israel. Now, they was fixing to go, and he knew because he was a prophet, already been prophesied that the nation of Israel was going to go into captivity. But he was also told to go and buy some land there in Israel because he said, you buy this and this will be the down payment, because he knew that Israel was also going to return back to that land. That was a down payment. So we have a down payment in the Holy Spirit of God. Even though we captured in this old body, one day we're going to be free and be able to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. Jeremiah paid the price, was sealed a document as you and I are sealed, stamped today. And on that stamp of Jeremiah, it was telestai. It means it was finished, as Jesus Christ said on the cross. It is finished. You, a seal has been put on every one of us, saved. We are sealed. Now, that ought to give a great blessing to each and every one of us today, because seal is just as strong as a person makes a seal upon it. And God sealed us. The seal has behind it the authority of that person who sealed us. The Holy Spirit of God is not it. The Holy Spirit of God is a person, the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. And we have the authority of God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, on our hearts and soul today, sealed to that day of that full redemption. Ephesians 4 and 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We have been sealed. We belong to Jesus Christ. A finished transaction. I mean, it's already over with. In Esther chapter 8 and verse 8, in the Old Testament it says, write ye also for the Jews, or to the Jews, as it liken you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and seal with the king's ring, may no man reverse it. Whenever a king sent a letter, he took his ring and they'd put on a metal candle and put it on that letter or that stamp, and he would take his ring and stamp it upon that wax. That would be the king's ring and the king's name. And whenever he sent that out, no man could reverse that letter or that statement that he made. And Jesus Christ sealed us, and no man can reverse. You're sealing in Jesus Christ, and you have been sealed with the king's ring and the king's name, and no one is able to reverse that. Revelation chapter 20, there's a book. It's called the Book of Life. And the Book of Life, your name is written in the Book of Life with the blood of Jesus Christ, and he sealed it. And the king himself will not be able to change that. The power that keeps us sealed. The power that keeps us sealed. You say, well, that's eternal security, and that's a Baptist doctrine. I'm not so much about Baptist doctrine. I am Bible doctrine. I ain't too much on Methodist doctrine, Baptist doctrine, Presbyterian doctrine, but Baptist doctrine, because some of the other denominations, even our Baptists, some of them is leaving the Word of God. Our Southern Baptists are leaving the Word of God. And I'm not going to go with them. This is a Bible doctrine and not a Baptist doctrine. And we better know what it says in the Word of God. He says, you are sealed. You are sealed. Now, I want to give you six reasons now. Seal means security. And these six reasons that you should rejoice in, every one of them, knowing what Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God has done for every one of us. And we ought to go out of here with praise on our hearts and our lips today, knowing what Christ has done for us. His presence in me, his promise to me, his purpose for me, his protection around me, his prayer concerning me, and his power over me. If that don't make you say hallelujah, I don't know. It ought to make a Baptist shout. We'd be out of place, wouldn't we? But I'm going to tell you, that's praise. These six things, because it's security. And this is what this seal means to every one of us. Because it means security. And there's six reasons you really need to understand, if I have this time this morning to explain them in depth, that I need to this morning. John chapter 14 and 20 says, "At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you." Now you're in Jesus Christ, Christ in the Father. We're all in one another. We're all in Jesus Christ. As you look at me, you see Jesus Christ living in me. You may not see it, but he's there. He's in me. I am the visible part of the invisible church. He is the invisible part of the visible Christian, Jesus Christ. I am of the body of Jesus Christ. You are the body of Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body. And a lot of people say, "Well, I'm out to drown in all the problems and all my troubles that I'm having today, and family problems and all kind of problems we have." And listen, when the head's above the water, nobody can drown. The head's above the water. You don't have to worry about drowning because he's with you today. If I perish, the part of Jesus Christ will perish also, the unthinkable. Now, John chapter 14 and verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." That is a statement that the Jews could understand a lot better than what we can understand today. Believing God never saved anybody. Believing God never saved anybody. Even from Adam and Eve, the slain animals were pointed to Jesus Christ with the blood. Cain and Abel, the blood of a lamb. Abraham, Isaac, and a ram caught in the thicket. And all the lambs and all the sacrifices, all the time of all the Old Testament. Belief in God never saved anybody. It's belief in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Many believes, a lot of different religion believes in God. Confusion to a lot of people because they want to try to mold all religion together. You can't mold Christianity with any other religion because of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ in Christ Jesus that separates us from all other religion. The Mormons believe in a God. They believe in a God of creation. They believe there's a God up there. They're not saved. Jehovah's Witness believes there's a God of the universe. Jehovah's Witness are not saved. The Islamic faith that we know of today is growing with tremendous leaps and bounds. They believe in Allah. They believe in a God. And you see, we have other belief, the Hindu. None of these people are saved. Well, preacher, how do you know? Because the Bible says they do not believe in Jesus Christ. And he says, "I am the only way." Not one of the ways of these other religions, but he says, "I am the only way." You cannot be saved by believing in God the Creator. You must believe in Jesus Christ. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you come under his protection. You come under the seal of security when you believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ, you transfer your trust from yourself to Christ Jesus for all eternity. And accept what he done for me. He died for me, shed his blood for me, and he sealed me in his precious blood. You see, we should enjoy our salvation more than anybody else in the world could ever think about serving any other type of God. We have before us here this table. It's called a communion table. You see what's written on this table? It says, "Remember." And Christian people, when it comes time to have the Lord's Supper, very few can remember to even come back on Sunday night and take one of the greatest blessings they are in the Christian faith. Is a death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, Ephesians 4 and 30 again, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein you are sealed unto the day of redemption." To start with, his presence in me. And then second thing you see, his promise to me in John 5 and 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me have everlasting life." That is a promise from Jesus Christ. "And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That is a promise. That's what Christ Jesus, through the Holy Spirit of God, His presence is in me, but also His promise to me that I and you, each born-again believer, have everlasting life. That's His promise to me today. I cannot go to hell. Boy, you bragging, preacher. You're too good. You can't go to hell. I am not bragging on myself, not one bit. But I tell you who I am bragging on. I'm bragging on Jesus Christ. Because He said, if I believe on Him, I have eternal security. And eternal security, that means I'm secure in heaven. He said that Jesus Christ in Revelation 1 and 18 said that Jesus Christ, He has the keys of hell and death. And I've told you this before. Did you know what He does whenever you're saved? He takes those keys of authority, He takes it, He locks you out of hell. If you're saved this morning, you're locked out of hell. By the power of the keys that hold, the power that holds the keys, that is Jesus Christ Himself. But not only the turn of the key locks you out of hell, but it locks you in heaven. You think you go into heaven because you've been behaving good? You think you go into heaven because you're a good little boy and girl? Mother and daddy, father, wife, husband? You think you go in because you're a good church member? You attend church, you're a good tither, you're good this. You think you're going to heaven because of all that? No. Because what Jesus Christ done for you, and He locked you into heaven when you put your faith in Christ Jesus. You won't go to heaven because of your behavior. You won't earn your salvation. He done this for you. That's the reason. The earnest of our inheritance. The earnest means a down payment. Now, a down payment used to, you couldn't buy a car unless you had a down payment. Banks would not finance a car unless you had probably a third of it, a lot of times at least a fourth of it. You got to have a down payment to buy a car. Because that bank, whenever they loaned you the rest of that money, they wanted you to have some interest in that car. Nowadays, all you do is just sign your name. It don't matter how much it is, 7, 8 years, I don't know, just sign it and drive off. And you know what? A lot of times they return these cars. Well, they can't pay for the cars, and they have to repossess them. They pick them up. You know why? Well, they ain't got nothing in them to start with. Didn't cost them nothing. How about a house? Remember the housing bubble busted? I know we all do. You see, you had to have a down payment on a house. And I tell you, a house was hard to come by. I had to have a down payment on a house before I could build a house. You see, if you got enough of money, you don't have to worry about it. They'll loan you more money. If you ain't got no money, you can't borrow no money. But they wanted you to have some type of interest in that house. And when you have interest in that house, you'll do anything to keep from losing that house or losing that car. You know what? Jesus Christ put a down payment on us, and He has a lot of interest in us through God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You know, God's put a lot of interest in you. When He sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross, the Holy Spirit to seal us, He has a lot of interest in us. We have a lot of interest in ourselves, I hope. He gives us, He saves us. I have everlasting life because of what the Father gave me. John 5 and 24 again, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on Him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but pass from death into life. Now people says, well, what if you had saved in 10 years you lose your salvation? Well, you'd have to change the words in the Bible because it would not say everlasting life, it would say 10 years life. And then if you live 20 years or 30 years and you sin and lose your salvation and some believe, you wouldn't have everlasting life. You'd have to change that and say you got 20 years life if you could lose it. But it says everlasting. It don't say 10-year life. It'll say 50-year life. It says everlasting life when you believe in Jesus Christ. And you lose it the same way you gained it. You didn't do anything for it. It's not what you do. You cannot lose it. He done everything for you, and there's nothing that you do. You can't lose it for what you do because there's nothing you've done to accept it. He done it for every one of us today. Everlasting life is not something that you get when you get to heaven or something when you die. It is something you get when you believe. When you believe. Just like old Noah, God says, come into the ark. and God said he closed the door. Now, probably you'll know, he probably fell down a lot of times inside the ark, but he never fell out of it. And you know the old saying, he didn't drive, what it was, 8 pegs on the side of that ark, him and his wife and his 3 sons and their wife, and every one of them got a hold of it and say, hold on now, we got to hold on. Encourage Noah's wife, saying, now Noah, hold on, eat much longer, about another 40 days, and you know, we may have it made. He didn't say to hold on. He put them in the ark. They could not fall out of the ark. The door was God's responsibility. And it says there was a winder, and the winder was Noah's responsibility, and all he could do was look up. All he could do was look up. Same is true for us today. It's not that we're holding on to Jesus Christ. We're in Jesus Christ. I'm not just in his hand. I'm one of his fingers. I'm part of him. If you're saved, rejoice, because his promise to you and to me, his promise, not just to hold on. Boy, his presence in me, the Holy Spirit of God, and his promise to me. But third thing is purpose for me. What is his purpose for you and I today? Well, the Bible tells us, you don't have to guess. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he, that's the Holy Spirit of God, which have begun a good work in you, will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He's working on that little song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know what? Not only me, but every born-again believer the same way. He's still working on you. He's still working on me to make us more like Jesus Christ all the time. That's called sanctification. Don't be scared of that word, because being more like Jesus Christ every day. And he will perform it until that day. See, the Holy Spirit convicts us. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit is not convicting you, you can't be saved. There's no way you can be saved ever, or anybody else, unless the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you. There's no salvation without the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And then after you're convicted, I'll tell you something else. He converts you by born-again experience and born into the family of God. He converts you from the family of Satan to the family of God. But not only that, he's not through you at that time. Then he completes you. He convicts you, he converts you, and he completes you in Jesus Christ unto the good works. And that good work is doing something for Jesus Christ. You cannot do good works towards God before you are saved. You do good works towards humanity, but you cannot do good works before God. God says none's good. No, not none. None of you. None of us. Nobody. After you're saved unto good works. And that works is to glorify Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And to think we can lose it, to keep it, to receive it, we cannot lose it. A lot of people say, well, I know somebody lost their religion. No, they might not. They lost their religion, but they ain't lost their salvation if they were saved. A lot of people, the problem is, we don't know who's saved, who's not saved. I might have been a lost church member. We don't know. Our purpose to be like Jesus Christ. His purpose for me to be like Jesus Christ. His purpose for you. But now the fourth thing, this is a good one, because his protection around me. His protection around me. John 10, 27 and 28. I really do like this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them, that word again, eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now that is protection. His protection around me, because I'm in his hand and I am his hand. You see on television, they say the commercial on this Allstate. You're in good hands. I'd rather be prudential. You know, I'll be part of the rock that Jesus Christ built on. Job 1 and 10, has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Lamentation 3 and 7 says, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chains heavy. You see, the Holy Spirit of God protects us. Now, in the Old Testament, we got something a lot greater in the New Testament than they ever thought of in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit come upon people for protection. They protect upon them. Sometimes that protection left. Remember old Samson? The Holy Spirit of God come upon him for this strength. But you remember it left and he didn't even know it? It would leave. But you see, the Word of God is a promise to us that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you. No way for him to leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. His presence is always with us. Now, what he will do, the Holy Spirit of God, even the day you and I live in, he will leave nations. His presence will leave nations. And I tell you, he has left this nation already. The hedge of protection is down upon this nation. It is down upon this nation. Also in the nation of Israel. Isaiah 5 and 5. Talking about Israel. And now go to I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. That's talking about the nation of Israel. I will take down the hedges thereof, and it shall be eaten up and broken down, the walls thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And the nation of Israel lived to see that day because they left God out. He will leave a nation. Now, the United States of America, I'm going to tell you, the hedge is down in our country. I'd like to say more about that, but I won't. Psalm 80 and 12 says, why hast thou then broken down her hedges so that all they might pass by the way to pluck her, United States? Thou hast broken down all the hedges, thou hast broken the stronghold to ruins. You see, the hedges is down upon our country. Although the Holy Spirit of God will never leave you, it will leave a nation. And the protection we've had over these years and years in our country, his protection around me, and his protection, how great it is to know what he's done for me and what he's done for you and continuously to do for us. John 10 and 28, no man can pluck them out of my hand. And many people have told me a lot of times, no, they won't no man do that, but the devil can. I've had people tell me the devil can take you out of God's hand. You know what I tell them? If the devil could do that, why haven't he already done that? And if he don't, he has a power to do it, and he don't do it, that means you go to heaven by the grace of the devil. And there's no such doctrine. He cannot take you out of God's hands. God is more powerful than Satan ever thought about being. The devil cannot. His protection around me, but I'm going to tell you, his prayers concerning me. John 17 and 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. No, he didn't come to save this world. He came to save people. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. 17 and 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil one, means Satan himself. You see, it means a lot whenever people pray for you. Sick, need help, problems. But you ever thought about whenever you're sick that Jesus Christ is praying for you? And a lot of time our vision is that, well, he's up there at the right hand of the Father. Well, but you know what? He's right inside of you also with the Spirit of God. And right on your bed when you're going through problems, not the little hand of Jesus Christ, but the hand of Jesus Christ is praying for you all the time. Right there in your room. Right there in your bed. He is praying for you. What a blessing it is. His prayers concerning me. Making intercession for us each day. The Heavenly Father. Hebrews 7 and 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. Salvation is not in a place called heaven. Salvation is in a person called Jesus. Did you know the devil and 1/3 the host of the angels called demons was in heaven? You can say heaven is not the safe place because 1/3 the host of angels fell from heaven. The safe place is in Jesus. In Christ Jesus, I'd rather be a saved sinner than an innocent angel. I am more secure here on earth than the angels were in heaven. I am more secure, you're more secure here on earth than one-third of the angels were in heaven that was cast out. Security starts now. His prayer concerning me. But you see, the power over me. The power over me. 1 Peter 1 and 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, I do anything, and I know you do anything to protect your children. I just do anything. I just die for my children. And I know that you would too. But you see, I can only do so much for my children. I can only go so far to protect my children. But I want to tell you what, somebody can go all the way, and that is Jesus Christ, through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You see, what he desires to do, he is sufficient to do. He desires to protect you with his power. He has sufficient power to protect you. Doctrine of eternal security. A lot of people say, well, if I believe that, once saved, always saved, I'd go sin all I wanted to because I know I'll still be going to heaven. Let me ask you a question. Do you sin all you want to? I tell you one thing, I sin more than I want to. I sin more than I want to. Because you see, you can't do what you want to do till you get your wanter fixed. And the wanter only fixed by Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Calvary. Because I don't want to do the things. I don't want to. In 1937, the Golden Gate Bridge was finished in California. In the first section of that bridge was built, 29 people fell and died. In that second section, they built a safety net. Cost them over $100,000 to build that safety net. On that second span, knowing that safety net was under there, only 10 people fell, and none of them died. 25% fewer people fell. They was able to live their life, enjoy their work, and keep doing their work because they knew the safety net was there. You see, you'll enjoy your Christian life more right now to realize what God has done for you than any other time, because you have that safety net, and that safety net is a seal of the Holy Spirit of promise. You're going to live your life with more joy than you ever lived it before, of praising God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for this power over you. For that safety net, you don't have to worry. You cannot fall from grace. If you ever fall as a Christian, you'll fall into grace. You'll never fall from grace in the Word of God. Seal also means identity. In Ephesus, that was a young lumber town. They would ship logs down the river. And there were several lumber companies at Ephesus at that time. And they would stamp the lumber company's name on the end of the log when they got where it was going, ship it down the river by floating it. They would know by identification. That mark was identification mark. Y'all remember, I like to watch old westerns, and I watched an old western. They brand them cows. Out by thousands and thousands of head, they brand them cows. You know what the brand is for identification? Know who they belong to. I don't know if some of y'all in here are as old as me or not, but I remember when they was called the no-fence law come in effect. Before that time, right here in this county, right here in this state, there was fences, but it was not to keep animals in. It was to keep animals out. Whoever had cows, they could graze, go anywhere they wanted to, any time they wanted to. They could go to town. That's where they had cattle gaps, keep town from filling up with cows. I remember the cattle gaps. And you had to have a brand on your cow, and the hogs were the same way. Everybody just let the hogs go anywhere they wanted to go. In the fall of the year, any time the roundup come for the hogs or the cows, see, your cows had to be branded, but your hogs had to be notched. The ears had to be notched, a certain type of notch, two notch, one notch. And all this had to be down in a courthouse for it to be legal to know whose cows and whose hogs they belonged to. All this marking, all this branding was identification of who they belonged to. You got a mark. And that mark is a seal of the Holy Spirit of God of who you belong to. 1 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God is steadfast and sure, having this seal. Having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his because of this seal, just like the mark of those cows or hogs. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not of your own? 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know what the scripture is telling us? He is telling us that you do not belong to yourself, that you've been bought with a price. You belong to Jesus if you're saved. Y'all understand that? You're saved, you don't belong to yourself. You don't do what you want to do, you do what God tells you to do. But do we do that? That's the reason I tell people, you don't have a choice where to come back to church tonight. You don't have a choice to come to church tonight. Because if you're a saved person, God has commanded, do not forsake assembling yourself together, because you were commanded to come. Now you say, yeah, I'm not going to come tonight. Well, you won't have that choice. You know what choice you have? You have the choice of obedience. Obeying or disobeying the word of God, because you do not belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price. And not only that, everything that God tells us to do, we don't have a choice to do it or not do it. We have a choice to obey or not to obey. Are we commanded to tithe? Do you tithe? That's not your choice. You belong to God. You don't belong to yourself. You've been bought with a high price, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says you are not of your own. The Spirit says you are of God. That's what he's talking about. He paid a tremendous price. I belong to him. He belongs to me. That's a tremendous price. That's the investment that he put in me. The more that you invest in anything, the more that you'll take care of it. That's what I said about a car or a house. The more that you invest in anything, the more that you want to take care of it. Well, God invested his only son, Jesus Christ, in you. His only son in you and in me. That's a great investment. You say that? The blood he shed on Calvary, that God invested in you and I through his son, Jesus Christ. That's a great investment. You know what that means? All these things I've named you, that means that God's got a great investment in us. He's going to take care of us. Oh, the great investment he's put in us. Romans 8:32 again. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God the Father was willing to give you Jesus Christ, why should we worry about little things that we worry about? If he give us the greater, all these lesser comes with it. Remember, you're not your own. Now, if you want to be saved, the Holy Spirit of God is working with you this hour. You think you need to be saved? You're lost? You want to be saved? Well, the Holy Spirit of God convicts you that you are lost. No one is never saved without the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God. You can't be saved without the Word of God. Takes the Word of God and reveals to you Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you are a poor sinner and you need to be saved. The Holy Spirit convicts you now you can be saved. There'd be something that's working in your heart here. You know what? You need that salvation. That preacher's right what he's saying. And you want to come this morning and be saved, you can. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. And when you do that and confess your sin and you're willing to repent of your sin and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you know what? The Holy Spirit converts you out of that family of Satan into the family of the Lord. You know, if you're here this morning and you're lost, you know what? You're in the family of Satan. There's two families in the world. God, Jesus Christ himself says you are of your father, the devil. We was born that way. We can't help it. But if you're willing, I tell you what, all these things will be added to you. these six reasons will be added to you. And I tell you, that's enough to cause you to walk out of this place on air, floating out of this building. Every one of us ought to be, I'm going to tell you, more enthused of serving Jesus Christ this morning than we've ever been before. Of seeing these things before, what God is doing for us each day, in us and through us, above us, around us. Are you saved this morning? Do you want to accept Jesus Christ? How easy it is. You mean all I have to do is accept, that's all, just come forward. Are you saved? Well, I believe in God. Like I said, you believe in God all you want to, and you go to a place called hell. Believe in God, you believe also in me, in Jesus Christ. You're not saved because there's an eternal God who made this world, and God's not your father. God's your creator. You see, God is a creator even over the Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Islamic. He's a creator of all mankind. He's also the creator of the bugs and animals. He's not their father. He's our creator. You need a savior. You need a father. You say you need to say Father, Abba Father. And you only get that way by accepting Jesus Christ as your Abba Father. As we come to the song of invitation this morning, I've laid it out as simple as I know how to do. I just thank the Holy Spirit of God for carrying it to your heart. I don't know what he's taught you about. It's not my business to know. That's one thing I like preaching, because God, the Holy Spirit, is carrying it to your heart and reveals to you the things he needs to reveal to you. If he spoke to you in any way whatsoever, you need to come forward this time, because you don't never know if you'll never have another opportunity. He's the one that opens the door for you. He's the one that closes the door. As we stand and sing this song.